gosh, it's great to be back in the studio and welcome to Friends to the Ends with Boily, of course, because it's my show. And we're in, well, we're almost out of COVID-19. It seems like it's a little bit of a history that I suspect that we'll reflect on at some time in the future, but it's so lovely to be back live rather than trying to create something on my poor old iMac many moons ago. And tonight I've got my very special guest, Michael Chun.
Boily, how are you?
I'm very good, Mike. Good CEO thing. Of Play It Strange. And, you know, as my listeners would know, every show, once a month, I get a buddy in. You might recall Mike quite a while ago, he lost the Rolling Stones and Beatles Challenge, which I thought was quite an admirable kind of competition. But
I won it.
So you didn't, but you came close.
Come here and say that.
That aside, tonight what we're going to do is going to be playing it strange, and by that I mean we're going to learn a lot about the charity that Mike is CEO of, Play It Strange. How long have you been there for?
17 years.
And what did you do before that?
I ran APRA, the Australasian Performing Right Association, which represents all the songwriters of New Zealand in terms of royalties like this radio station.
That's good there. And before that, what did you do?
I was at Merrill Lynch in London pretending to be an economist and being paid a lot of money to do nothing in particular.
See, that's something I didn't know about you, because I thought you were going to say maybe, you know, you looked after Mushroom Records, and before that you're at Citizen Band, and before that you're in Split Ends, but you just went straight to Merrill Lynch.
Yeah, all of those things I did do, but they paled in comparison to wearing a suit and a tie in London in a glass building having breakfast for 30p. Why are you laughing? I could have done hedge currencies.
Okay, so it's good that we're not going to talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about Play It Strange and that's all about. Yeah. And I must say, it is such a delight to also have Simon William Todd on our knobs tonight. I really really appreciate that, Simon. He's so good. And he might chip in with a few words later, as he normally does, as long as he doesn't swear too much. So before we kick into Play It Strange, I thought, why don't we play this first song, and can you tell me who is playing the song, Mike?
Yes, Adam Farr. Adam Farr was a 16-year-old, I think, at some far distant school. The song's called Sitting on the Couch. It's literal, and I'll talk more about what it is about young teenage male songwriters that lead to extremely mental songs like this.
Okay, let's hear it.
Thank you.
afraid, but there's one thing that it needs. A big ass bowl of nachos covered in tasty cheese. TV in the daytime, movies in the night, with my nachos on the left and
alrighty,
the sour on the right.
Adam Farr. Before I ask you, because I've got a lot of questions we're going to go through this evening, and like I said, if you don't know the answer, just make it up. But outside that fact, Play It Strange has really been established to help kind of develop and grow New Zealand songwriters from, you know, from schools. It's been our kind of breeding ground, hasn't it, to not only bring to life that song, but also what the song does for the student, for their own well-being. And we're going to touch a bit more on that, because it's where I got quite emotive about it, and why I'll declare now that I'm a board member. I've been there for about 5 or 6 years now. Yeah. So just on that, Adam Farr, why did you choose that track? Because you've got a plethora of choices.
Yes, so we've got about 750 professionally recorded songs over the years on the albums, and Adam Farr is one of them. What Adam's done here with the Sitting on the Couch is that there's a beautiful dichotomy.
Right.
Where he's talking about a life which is haphazard, lazy, purposeless, unambitious, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that reading between the, or listening between the lines, it's all bullshit. And he's supremely lacking in confidence and wondering what to do apart from choosing between nachos and pizza. The male gender songwriting fraternity in Play It Strange is often full of shit because they haven't got the guts to say what they really feel. So Adam Farr, in my mind, I don't know, to all of you who listened to the words in that song, you would have thought, well, he's joking. He's trying to be like Benny Hill or something.
Right.
But in fact, and I wished I'd met him, I'm sure I would say blah, 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 and he would cry because he had the chance to go into the studio and do something really magnificent. And he recorded really badly the song. But I think the lyrics are a beautiful summation, and his grandchildren will listen to it one day and go, oh, yeah, that was Granddad Adam telling it how it was. I believe that.
You, word verbatim, we just captured a segment of Adam's life of 4 minutes and 17 seconds.
That's what a song is.
It's a moment in time.
It is. Has to be.
Well, it's intriguing, one to kick off. Let's introduce the next one, because we want to get through a number of these tracks. And can you talk us through this one, In the Dark by Grace David?
When I first heard In the Dark, I was profoundly moved and had to meet her. She lives in Orewa, goes to Epsom Girls Grammar, spends hours every day getting from Orewa to Epsom Girls Grammar. I think you and I should do that one day just to prove what a pain in the neck it is travelling.
Yep.
And I agreed to meet her at the Northcote Tavern, and I get a text saying, well, I'm here, are you here? And I thought, where the hell is she? So I found her sitting in the far corner of some garden bar, and I said, I just adore your song. And she said, oh, are you joking?
Really?
And I thought, why did she say that? We started talking. I said, you look unusual. She said, yes, I'm half Dutch, half Indian. And to cut to the chase, Grace David, her recording of In the Dark, her lyrics of In the Dark, the melodies of In the Dark, the arrangement of In the Dark, and her live performance of it, because I was lucky enough to play bass with her at the Bethels Beach Cafe gig.
Oh, which one was that?
Because that was last February.
We were there.
Were you the guy that was asleep?
I was the one dancing up front. Don't be a dick.
Yeah, come on. That was her, Grace David.
Oh, she was great.
This song is triumphant.
All right. Well, shall we hear it
now? I mean, it's kind of, the lyrics are kind of sad.
Okay.
But in sharp contrast to Adam, mm-hmm. we just heard first,
yes.
who's a typical New Zealand
boy.
Freak out male. This is what a current 18-year-old girl is capable of.
Great, let's hear it.
David Epson Girls Grammar, she lives in Arewa. That song is called In the Dark, and it is an absolute triumph. So I talked about how she wrote it, she sang it, she arranged it and all that kind of stuff. The beautiful string arrangements in that song, she wrote all of them, and then she brought in a whole bunch of string players from Auckland University and conducted them. So what can't Grace David do? It's just incredible.
Well, it kind of blew me away.
It's incredible.
Well, her vocal range as well. You talked about when she went very high.
That huge high part of the end.
And not to only create a song like that, but also to do the arrangements. I mean, she's got a gift, right?
So yeah, she's a 100% package. Yep. So, Grace David, I will listen to that song in the dark probably for the next 30 years.
It's funny, isn't it? And well, I will too. I think the topics that the students write about at this age incredibly reflect probably how they're feeling as well through adolescence, which we all know. I'm still going through it, but it's a tough time for students and for kids growing up now. It seems harder with social media, and you've got all these elements around that I think impact quite negatively in a lot of cases in respect of their well-being. So songwriting is a way in escaping and releasing some of that. Is that what you found over the years, Mike?
But also, if you think about it, Grace, she wrote In the Dark. Maybe in the few hours before that, she did physics and biology in her school uniform, and then she ran out and did the netball practice.
Yep.
You know, so the lives they lead is quite complex and quite complicated. And they've got things like parents to deal with. I mean, I'm not sure about Grace's parents. But it isn't like when you're sort of 24 and you want to be a pop star and you're sitting in your flat and you've got hours and hours. Maybe, in a way, pressure of time with these teenagers, because these songs that I'm looking at that we're going to play are just incredible.
Okay. Well, why don't we track on with the next one?
So Sam Cullen is from the South Island, and his song is called Small Town, which is another... What happens with the songwriting, I think, is that they reflect on the location, and not all of them, but I met Sam. He came up to sing at a Plant Strange performance at the Next Foundation function.
Right.
They flew him up and they didn't, you know. And
very cool.
I said, what's Small Town all about? Well, he said, basically, I'm stuck in a small town. Now,
it could have been Ashburton.
It could have been Ashburton. But it's all in the song. So if you listen to the song which you're about to play, think about a guy in a small town, and how would you, the listener, have told your story as opposed to Sam.
Okay, let's hear it.
Of mine.
John Cougar Mellencamp did a small town song in my day. It reminded me of Ashburton.
I suspect Bob Dylan's done about 150 of them.
Which one is your favourite?
My favourite Bob Dylan small town song?
Yep.
The one about when he went to Otahu in South Auckland and met me.
So
Cameron, I'm going to hit you if you're not careful.
I'm sorry about that.
Okay, so that was Sam Cullen's.
It's very good.
I think it's a beautiful song.
And that came out a couple of years ago.
2 years ago, 2018.
So just so that people listening around, and they'll hear our podcast, and of course it's getting streamed across the world, Play It Strange has really a small charitable organisation that is there to bring to life music through students, and we run a number of competitions. You run it on the smell of an oily rag, let's be honest.
We do.
You've got the wonderful Debbie Little.
Yep.
Stunning. She has done and works particularly hard in so many different areas, organising a whole lot of gigs. So what are some of the things that over the last year or so that we've done that you've had a bit of fun with? Talk a little bit about the Fleetwood Mac gig that we did.
Duco Events, who normally have Joseph Parker boxing matches. We went to meet him and he did all the talking, and next thing we know we're in the Vodafone Event Centre down in South Auckland. So Bob Geldof and Mick Fleet would turn up, and I was asked to ask them questions.
Yeah, I thought they were really good questions.
Hello, what's it like? I loved it.
You were a little bit starstruck,
I wasn't so much starstruck, but I was a bit freaked out by having to know all their lives. In fact, that's another story.
I thought Bob Geldof was exceptional.
Yeah, he was
that
the
night.
Star. Yeah,
he had some great stories, didn't he? So to raise money, we do these types of events. Of course, this is all about how we can get more, students recording songs, and they go into proper studios, don't they?
Yeah.
And we should touch on that after this next track, just some of the examples of the places that they go to. So who's our next singer that we've got here?
Well, I was asked to go to Wellington High School and talk to them about Spillions. They were doing a class project on that band.
Great.
And one of them said, why did you leave Spillions? So I said, I had a phobic disorder called agoraphobia. And this young boy at the front row sitting on the floor said, I've got that.
Really?
And I thought, can I talk to you after the class? And so he and I talked. And yes, he's troubled. The way we talked about it, a lot of it I recognised. His name's Ashley Graham. And I said, well, do you write songs? He said, yeah, I've written a few songs. I said, enter a song in this year's competition, probably about 6-7 years ago. And the song came and it's called Routine. And the opening line is, I make the same breakfast in the morning and I know exactly what's going to happen today. And I thought, that is such a sad song, because there's nothing. He had in his head, there's nothing for me that I could turn into something special in my life. I make the same breakfast in the morning. You listen to it, it's called Routine.
Okay, why don't we hear it?
Bloody place.
Able to write that and then put music to it. I mean, you know me, I can't unfortunately sing a song in key, let alone remember the lyrics, and can't play an instrument, but music does have that impact for a listener. And thankfully, as you said, you know, music would be no good unless there are fans like me to buy it and listen to and go to gigs, so that's pretty important. But for you in this role, the number of children or students, they're not children, I mean they're young adults that you're seeing, have you seen a growth in some of the development of music in New Zealand through this space, or the stories that you get from the students, are they becoming more and more challenging given the social environments that we're involved with?
They're more honest, but also I think for someone to hear a song for the first time, you don't really know it until the second, third, fourth, fifth. I'll never forget Tim Finn giving me the Woodface album.
I love that
on
album.
A DAT, digital audio tape.
Yep.
And I had it for about 2 or 3 days. And he came back and he said, "So what do you think?" And I'd listened to it and I didn't like it.
Oh, really?
And so I said, "Oh, no, I haven't heard it yet." I now rate Woodface as probably one of the greatest albums anyone in this country's ever made. So it just took time for me to get to know Four Seasons.
I love that. You know, Fall at Your Feet. Oh,
and these kind of songs are the same. That's why when we judge the Play It Strange songwriting competition, it's all about living with them. So we really lock ourselves away.
So how long or how many times would you play a song? There'd be some that you'd think, okay,
yeah,
probably not.
Yeah.
But
I
then
mean,
there'd be
song,
others.
If a song goes, I'm a bastard, you're a dick, I'm a bastard, you're a dick.
That's good.
And after 20 seconds, I'll probably say, well, that probably won't make it.
No.
It's easy. We would all say that.
Yes.
But then if a song goes, birds like golden teardrops, music to those who listen, not just those who hear.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and so that song turned up for Rosanna Gamelin Green.
And that's who we're going to play next.
She refused to take music as a subject.
Why?
Who's listening to this? Because the music teacher at that school wasn't in the slightest bit interested in songs. She just wanted a choir, an orchestra, a jazz band, a concert band, all that stuff, which still is, which is fine.
Mm.
But I met Rosanna. I was at Wellington Airport and she was up doing the big singles. And I said, your birds song, and she knew she was in the album.
Yep.
I said, where are you going to record it? And she said, I don't know. And I said, I know. So she came to Auckland to do the big sing.
Yep.
And I sent her around to a guy called Eddie Rayner.
Nice.
He put her in his garden shed and now they've got triplets. No, that's me trying to be funny. And listen to this track. This is a girl who now is living in
Young
Canada,
lady.
Who is doing, what do you call it, with green things?
An arborist.
No, you know, the earth.
Smoking.
Environmentalists.
Ah.
PhDs. And all
PhD.
This stuff. She's an unbelievable woman. Who has written songs, and this isn't the only one, but this is the monster of her songwriting.
It's called Birds. Shall we give it a crack?
Birds like golden teardrops. To those who listen, not to all who Rosanna Gamblin Green. She was at Rangiruru, which is
Christchurch. I do. I know Rangiruru.
I've never been there.
I haven't been to the school, no.
Is it a rock and roll school?
It's an all-girls school.
It is. At the time, it wasn't. Rosanna refused to take music. Anyway, that's another story. But we're moving on.
Yeah, let's play another track
we're
now.
We're going to Auckland Grammar School, which in our world, at Planet Strange, is a place that songs don't often come from. But Campbell McKenzie sent in this song called The Game We Play, and I was particularly taken with it.
Yes.
He recorded it at Roundhead, Neil Finn's studio, because he was picked in the final 50, I think it was that year. And I said, Campbell, darling, this song is incredible. What's it about? He said, well, when I was 10 or 11, I had a really close friend, and we used to spend time playing the piano together.
Cool.
And now he's gone, and I miss him.
Oh, my goodness.
So listen to it.
Okay.
And think about that.
Let's hear that.
In the past, I always looked ahead, never looking back. Now I see that it was always meant to be. When I stepped up and joined the family, I know it'll never last, but we still have a decent life while we can. But the clock on the wall says it's time to go, and I'm not ready. When the lights fade and the crowd applauds for the final time, the end of a beautiful day, just a part of the game we play. My mind eager to return, but those good times keep rolling till one day we just stop and start again. Never again. I know it'll never last, but we still and laugh while we can. But the clock on the wall says it's
so we're going to have Campbell in our background, because there's a couple other questions I want to talk to you about, in particular around the, I guess, the number of people that we have on our on the team at Play It Strange, Mike, that you know, who else do we need to give a little bit of a shout out, because you know, it is a bit of a charitable organisation, but there's a truckload of work that goes into that, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, running a songwriting competition, a charitable trust, is something that we are, I think, the only ones that do it.
Yes.
And in the early days, it was like, what are you talking about? I mean, what do you mean songwriting? So I would say, what did you do last Saturday? And they would say, oh, well, I got really pissed and I jumped up on the table and me and my wife danced naked to Led Zeppelin 2.
Nothing wrong with that. I mean, that would be a common occurrence.
I said, did you think about where those songs came from? And he said, no. And so I threw him out the window. Songwriting is a craft that no one thinks about, because everybody hears songs in an invisible ether, and they don't know where they come. Summation, no one's tried to write them.
And this is one of our core goals, isn't it, is to encourage everyone to have a crack at it. And
just give it a go.
Give it a go.
Yeah.
So we should, I mean, it just sounds incredibly difficult. When you hear some songs, you think, I could have done that, but you can't, can you? I mean, you always use the example of I Got You, those like four chords. And you know, if everyone could do it, then everyone would be singing and writing songs. So they can't.
They can.
But a lot of songs are driven, and particularly around this age group, it's driven by an experience or an emotion or a real passion that, or something that has affected them, and they're lucky enough to actually be able to release it through song. The thing that I found, and you know, when we first met, when you were celebrating 10 years of Play It Strange, was not talking to the students, but talking to the parents about how relieved they were almost that they found something that their child who could actually, you know, blossom and be confident and be happy about what they did. And that, you know, I must admit, that did bring a wee tear to the eye for me, because seeing and hearing those parents talking about that to me was all about what Play It Strange is, as much as it is for the students. But the other side is that we've got some talented, wonderful young people in New Zealand that need to be heard. And Our job, and hopefully tonight, our listeners will spread the love a little bit. That's what I'm hoping for.
You're right.
I know. I hate that. I mean, it's a curse. It's one of the little changelings that I have. And the other problem that I do have, as Simon pointed out before, that I can't say plethora, because apparently that's not factually.
It's plethora for
plethora. Plethora, does that sound as good as plethora? I think plethora is a lot better.
It rhymes with schmethora.
Right. So perhaps now we should go on to our next artist.
We are in a sec, but I just wanted to say...
Okay.
It also runs with twat, by the way.
Okay. We're going to start flying soon. But songwriting for a typical 15, 16, 17-year-old is an exorcism.
Is it?
Yeah, where they relieve themselves of internal, deep-rooted, psychological stress, fear, pain, grief, love, excitement, regret, all of that.
It's emotion intensified.
And the next song.
Yes.
It's called Let Me Go. Maria Shriver's, and I was up in Whangarei. It's a long story as to why I was there, but there I was, and some of the school kids in the room said, get Maria to play her song, Let Me Go. And so this waif of a kid who had been sent by her parents from her hometown of Nelson to Kaitaia, to a Christian school, hopped up and sang this song. And I went up to her and I said, do you mind entering it in our songwriting competition? And as I thought it might, it screamed into the finalists, and she went and recorded it. I forget where, a studio in Nelson. It's called Let Me Go. Her classmate, who I learnt was called Michaela, was dying. And her and the classmates, Maria and her classmates, used to go and visit Michaela, and she would say to her on her deathbed, because she had to die, if you love me, let me go.
Wow. Okay, let's hear it.
In the past, I always looked ahead, never looking back.
Okay, this is great. So Simon's really copped this one up. I'm just, and it's not like him to do this, Mike.
And that was the proper version of, anyway, what we've done is
that was the proper one.
Oh, right.
Beautiful intro to Maria Shriver's song, Let Me Go.
Okay.
This is Maria Shriver's, right. And apparently she sang it at Michaela's funeral.
Okay.
See
Well, I mean, that if that doesn't put a little tear in the eye, Mike, and you know me, I wear my heart on my sleeve a little bit, and that's probably why I love the work that Platt Strange does. I wish I could do probably a bit more on the board from time to time.
No,
but I'm
don't
just
be silly.
Well,
you do.
Yeah, no, but
you're crucial on the board.
But the thing that I love is, you know, we just need to get these songs out here and out more. And if nothing else, the students that take the time in their world, which is so challenging these days, to be able to write something like that, I mean, that just blows me away. I mean, it must blow you away compared to the old days. I mean,
I'm stunned.
Yeah. So we are running out of time, so I think we're going to run through a couple more tracks before we finish up. So who we got next?
So Eden Roberts was at Western Springs College. She was 14 or 15. She sent in a track for the competition called Into the Woods.
Great.
And I played it, and I thought, holy shit.
She's good.
And so I rang her, and I went around to see her, and she lives in Western Springs, as you would if you go to Western Springs College.
Of course you do.
I said, hello, Eden. She looked like, you know, she was like 3 foot tall and all that. And we went off to a coffee bar down the road, and I said, your song is filled with guitars, like incredibly beautiful guitar arrangements. The words are great, like, imagine you're going into the woods. It was just freaky.
Right.
And I said, who played them? And she said, oh, I did.
Everything.
She said, I did. And I thought, I've just met, like, Jimi Hendrix, age 14, living in New Zealand. I just say that with drama, because at the time I was shocked. I went on to BFM.
Yes.
I thought, someone's got to hear this and know it. And who's that guy, Mikey Havoc?
Oh, yeah, Mikey, yep.
He was the jock. Like, that's short for disc jockey.
Disc jockey.
Yeah. And we played it. And his phone ran hot.
Did it?
And this whole thing, that incredible song, needs to go into their BFM top 10. Anyway, to cut to the chase, I think we should play it just to hear what a 15-year-old kid, Eden,
yep,
can do.
Okay, let's hear it. Very short of time, Mike. So that is amazing, by the way. So what are we going to finish on? And
a quick wrap on Eben Roberts.
Yes.
She's now living in California.
Yes.
She's married.
Right.
And she's managed by the guy that signed Crowded House to Capitol Records.
Very cool.
So I'd like to think that there's a substantial, energetic backdrop to her future. Eden Roberts, now known as Eden Iris.
Very
you know,
cool.
When you're married, you have a different name, don't you?
Well, I'm not sure. You don't need to.
I used to be
days.
Michael Smith, but now I'm Michael Jones. Anyway, so we're moving right along.
Your jokes are getting worse.
One of the great cities in terms of songwriting and musicality and all that stuff is Hamilton. And Hamilton Girls High has started to get super energized.
Yep.
And Hallie Aish, I think she's about 15, she might be 12, I don't know, has written a song called Hasten the Day.
We're going to hear
And
this
don't you think it's all about choruses? Hasten the Day.
I love
Listen
the chorus.
Listen to this chorus, mate.
I tell you what, thank you so much for coming on tonight, Mike. I love your
Shake
work.
Shake my hand, dude.
I do. Thank you.
Don't forget to listen to the chorus.
Thanks, Simon.
Here it comes.
Love your work.